Down to Business on Newstalk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, helping you deal with the business of Brexit.
Now, to be successful in business, it's vital to understand your identity, as it'll make or break your business. That's according to a new book, In Business With Yourself, from the business owner, coach and author, Michelle Lestas. And I'm delighted to say Michelle joins me on the show today. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Bobby. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. I enjoyed the book, Michelle, but you might just explain the categorization of, I suppose, the different type of entrepreneurial characters that you outline in the book.
Yeah, of course. Well, I based the book on a theory that's been around for a very long time, social identity theory. It's been around since the 1970s. So I sort of took that and adapted a little bit for the business world. And I use that to look at how our attitudes and motivations are really central to decision-making in business. I mean, I run business as well as coach business, and over the years I have observed so many different types of business leader. And it was really last year then I decided to put that into some sort of identity that people could perhaps understand and learn a bit more about themselves and how they do lead their business. So the concept has been formed over a long time, and it's really about, you know, emphasizing that as business owners, we don't come to business in a vacuum. We come with lots of different experiences behind us. So for example, one of the identities I talk about is a descendant. So a descendant is someone who has really inherited a business from the family. And so they're going to come to that table very differently to someone who's coming to the table new to the book, and maybe somebody like what I class the blue skier, the innovator, the person who's creative. So that's where it really came from.
Yeah, and there's others such as a dabbler, again, somebody who maybe have turned a hobby into a business, a lifer, which is probably the guy selling sweets in the schoolyard and will always be an entrepreneur. You have a progressor, somebody who worked in another business as a kind of a second in command and is, you know, recognizes that there's a better way, and they do that. So, and an academic. So, but could I just put it to you, Michelle, that, you know, maybe at different times in our life, because I was in business myself for many years, but one could be a different character trait at a different stage of one's life, no?
Yes, absolutely, Bobby. I think that is the case. And when you're reading the book, I ask the reader to put themselves into their predominant identity as it is now, so they can get the best out of it. But totally, you could have someone who, you know, as you say, the guy who sells the sweets in the school playground, the lifer, as I talk about, they may go on then, and they may become later on in life a dabbler, someone who has been there in business, got the T-shirt, and they've got a bit of money to invest, and then they're looking around to maybe dabble in other businesses and help other business owners along the way and maybe make a buck or two on the way. So you certainly can, and as your career, if you like, progresses, you can be certainly predominantly more in one identity than the other. The key is really about the identity that you're in the business environment that you're in at this point in time,
yeah,
and how that impacts. Yeah.
No, I was thinking as well, if you talk, say, like one of your categories is a game changer, somebody who's passionate about their cause, and with a good support, you can make a very successful business. It might be easier to be a game changer if you had a successful business behind you, on the basis that you don't have that much, or you don't have to bet the house on whatever this new venture is.
Yeah, I think that's probably relevant across them all, actually. You know, I talk about the game changers, a prime example, but I think game changers, I think as we look at what's happening around us now and what has happened over the last 10 months, and I do think that within society as a whole, we're maybe getting a bit more aware of, you know, buying local, or environmental issues, green issues, life sciences. I think we're going to see an awful lot more game changers. So
yeah.
We may get many young people coming to the table too who are passionate about making a change and they want to bring consumers with them. And so they're really about all about the message. I talk a bit about Anita Roddick being a prime example of that in the Body Shop in the 1980s. You know, she was all about not testing on animals. And
yeah, but like when you say that, and Green and Blacks would be another example, they sell out. So when they sell out, what does that mean? You know, if you're a game changer and somebody comes along with a cheque for 100 million and you take the cheque, there's lots of examples around that where people then who have been game changers, are they game changers once they sell?
Well, I think then, you know, the business is all about the game change. And I think quite often when they're sold on, not always, but the new owner may not necessarily be about that message. They may not be about that brand. And so you can see it a real difference in the business as it moves on.
Yeah.
Yeah. The person themselves, probably if they've made that amount, they'll probably retire and become a dabbler, or they may just retire.
And you do an interesting SWOT analysis on each category, which I think is good, because how important is it, you know, as somebody who's in business to recognise which one of these you are, like the importance, and particularly around knowing your strengths and weaknesses, which is clearly an advantage applied to anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And well, I think the key thing about knowing the strengths and weaknesses of your identity is then about thinking about who else you need around you.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, someone who is maybe not that willing to take a lot of risk and they're in business, you know, hobbyists who come to business very much by developing a hobby that they have and making it into an income for themselves. You know, quite often there's not a lot of money there. Quite often the banks are not that brilliant about supporting them because it's all about the individual craft. And so, you know, not having that sort of element of ability to expand, if you like, means that maybe you do need people like dabblers or lifers to work with you,
yeah,
and help you to maybe grow. So the strengths and weaknesses are about yourself, but it's also about making sure you surround yourself with people who can actually help you to push the business forward a little.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you've got some analysis further on in the book then about, you know, the different partnerships from different characteristics. So if you have a blue skyer and a game changer, it equals confusion. A descendant and a dabbler equals procrastination. These are interesting to see where things might go wrong should you choose to maybe, you know, partner with another character in, say, a joint enterprise.
Absolutely. And I think that's what I'm really, and you've really hit the nail on the head in terms of just, you know, not only in your partners, but maybe for those businesses that go on and have boards, or even in your staff members. You know, if you have too many creative, innovative risk takers in a business, there's not a sense of sort of pulling back and realism sometimes in that. And you need that, those checks and balances. You need them in business in lots of different ways. But this is one angle that I take on it, which is about making sure that, and not to be surrounding yourself by just friends and family and yes people. And, you know, so it's about making sure that you have the challenge you need to push you forward, but also some realism in there as well. So, yeah, I certainly in my experiences, I've seen a few which might seem like a natural mix, a blue skyer and a game changer to come together, but it can get very messy and maybe just too many egos in the room.
Yeah. And what are your views on, you know, partnerships on the entrepreneurial journey? I was always a huge believer of them, as long as you pick the right partners. But like some entrepreneurs are very sort of solo driven. They don't necessarily want partners. What's your thought on that?
Well, there isn't really a one shoe fits all on it, I think. I think it does come down to the individuals and also the skills and expertise that they can bring to the table. I mean, I'm a great believer in saying to business people, it's better to own, you know, 50 or 60 60% of something that's growing than 100% of something that's just standing still. So I fundamentally do believe that the joint thinking and support provided in partnerships can be really, really useful. But also many of them do go wrong. And I also talk about, you know, maybe trying to not involve too many family and friends in your business as you move along the journey, because that can also be a bit of a recipe for just not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. But yes, I mean, there are some solo founders of businesses that make it really work. I think whenever you get into sort of the tech industries and the more that type of sector, funders and investors tend to look for these partnerships, but it's not always the right thing to do.
Yeah. And you yourself came from a family business, Michelle. Would you recommend that someone in a family business environment should go and work somewhere else or should go and try something themselves before maybe even going back to that family business?
I mentioned, I think, briefly at one point in the book, I think there's a lot to be gained from knowledge outside of just the boundaries of that, because people who grow up in family businesses, it tends to be, you know, instead of talking about the local sports team around the dinner table, there's a lot of conversation about what's going on the business on a day-to-day basis, and it can be all-encompassing. And so, you know, I'm a great believer, particularly for young people, to go and see around them a little bit, and then they've got that knowledge and experience and just a wider perspective and the ability maybe to learn from other people outside of their family business, which is can be really useful and just generate some new thinking that quite often is needed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, it's a really good book. I really enjoyed it. It's called In Business With Yourself, Understanding Your Identity to Make or Break Your Business. And there's a text here just come in, Michelle, just to finish out on. Hi, Bobby, I love this interview. And these roles can apply in any organization where there are people and layers. My comment is that it also needs support from the owners / board of directors. Their ethos and vision can damage or curtail someone's leadership qualities. I think that's very pertinent. Just you would agree with that, I take it, Michelle, yeah?
Totally, totally. I think in terms of your teams within your business, it's a real way to look at who you surround yourself and who's on those teams. And really, you want that mix of thinking and attitude and motivation within your team. Certainly, I think the caller really got it.
And very finally, where can one get the book?
So Orpen Press in Dublin have been the publishers. They've been great to work with and so supportive. So you can get it at www.orpenpress.com.
Okay.
And it can be bought there. It's also out with bookshops, but with COVID at the moment, the likes of Waterstones and that, but with COVID just at the moment, and the
it's
lockdown,
tricky.
It's not as easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, thanks for joining us this morning, Michelle. Enjoyed our chat, and I enjoyed the book. So that's Michelle Lestis there, a business owner, coach, and author of the book In Business With Yourself.